WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I'm going to tell brother to bell of it just to keep that nasheed in the background. What a beautiful nasheed. Siddiq to Siddiq here. Beautiful, beautiful nasheed from my engineer, brother Tobella. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, the bliss of marriage, part two. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course, my beloved engineer, brother Tobella, who's with me this morning from 11 to 12, part two. I want to welcome the beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company, and I want to welcome the beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And my beloved senior ustad just entered the studio, and I'm just telling the listeners about this beautiful nasheed, and I'm going to ask my beloved Fadilatul Ustad to tell us about this nasheed. You know, I'm just telling brother Tobella, when Markaz Sahaba started, it was 2018, subhanallah, subhanallah, and now in 2020, my ustad always tells me, Hada min fadl Rabbi. Well, the 20th of Muharram, 1442. Let's welcome our beloved senior respected Ustad. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday, part two, the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum, Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to you.
Jee Ustad, let's begin inshallah with the program. There's a listener says, Mufti Sab, what according to you is the most important aspect to any relationship, marriage, for it to be successful? Honorable Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are three vital ingredients that we need to understand for a wonderful, successful marriage. Number one is that we must have the correct iman. Today people say we have iman, but Allah alone knows, is it the correct faith? Do we believe really in what we say, that I believe in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, in Anbiya alayhi salam, in Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Sharif, the angels, the day of Qiyamah, Taqdeer, destiny, all these type of things that are the articles of faith. So our faith in that must be the unconditional and must not be wavering. So that's number one. Number two is the taqwa. Taqwa is that we abstain from kufr and shirk, from blasphemy, polytheism. We stay away from the major sins. We all are sinners. But remember, from the major, major sins, we try our level best to stay away. And third one is, we must not take one another for granted. This is what happens to many couples when after 5 years, 10, 20, 40 years, then you just take one another for granted. No, you must always work on your marriage, make dua together, give gifts to one another, pass compliments to one another, and in that way there, always look at one another with respect and love, embrace one another, and you will see how Almighty Allah's mercy will come. Always remember, there are three enemies also. One enemy is the shaitan. Shaitan will never leave us. So daily we must say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min iblis wa junudi. Ya Allah, Jalla wa ala, I seek your protection from iblis, the big, big shaitan, and all his cronies in human form and in jinn form. So that is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min iblis wa junudi. Second one, remember that our own nafs, our own ego, our own lust and desires and passion and so forth. So that will always command us to do wrong things. He got away, she got away, see they're having an affair. So you also try and all that. Allah forbid, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, that the shaitan, remember, will embellish, adorn and beautify the vices. So always beg all Almighty Allah for protection min shururi nafsi, from the evil of myself, my soul and my desires and so forth. So that's number two. And third one is the people we mingle with and associate with. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin, and be with the pious people, with the truthful people. Summertime we are nearer to the fan, to the air conditioner, so the coolness will rub off. Winter time we are nearer to the heater and the fireplace, and the warmth and the heat will come towards us. So when we mingle with the pious, the piety will rub off. But today we want life to be exciting. We want, so our friends we have, they are the ones tell us, do this, do that. And when we have peer pressure, we have family pressure, we have the friends that are also a little bit zigzag. So remember, then you see so many marriages falling apart. Just yesterday, I got a message that this person here, that his best friend fell in love with his wife, and his wife left him, got married to his best friend, and now he's got married with his second wife now, and this is harming the second wife because he wants to take revenge from his best friend. But if I ask him the question, who was the one who introduced his best friend to his wife, the first one, it's him. He was broad-minded, you see. So broad-minded, so his friend started getting busy with his wife while she was married to him. So remember, and then he caught her, whatever happened, all these type of things. So we must remember, we must have good friends that will remind us of the righteous deeds, not of the vices and so forth. So these are the three things we need and three things we must abstain from. Then inshallah, all Almighty Allah's mercy will envelope us.
Allahu Akbar. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Tumma Ustad. The listener says, make us maaf, Mufti Saab. I know this question is not regarding the bliss of marriage. She says, how are you, Mufti Saab? My auntie has recently passed away and she had qada fast. So what must we do so it can cover up her fast? Ustad.
No, alhamdulillah, we very well, all with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and all your du'as, Allah Ta'ala keep us always with afiyah, siha, iffa. Afiyah, safety and comfort. Siha, health and goodness. Iffa, pure and chaste. So these are the du'as we must always beg and ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So yes, you must remember when the Kala, your auntie Masi passed away, Allah Jalla Wala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. All of you should be learning these two ayats, two sentences from the Noble Quran, Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41, Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah Jalla wa la, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents, forgive the believers the day the reckoning is established. Now it is somebody's sister, somebody's brother, every one of us some brothers in Islam. So remember, brothers, sisters, so I don't know your Kala, your Masi, your maternal auntie, paternal auntie, your Fui, your Pupi, whatever. So remember, but we make dua for them. So we read Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10, Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Oh beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive the people who passed away before us with iman. So these are two du'as constantly, consistently, daily we should read. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Chapter 59, Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10. Now your auntie passed away and she missed certain fast of Ramadan. She did not keep the qada, maybe due to illness, maybe due to laziness, procrastinating, delaying. So let's say she has 10 fasts. Example, it could be more, obviously it could be less. But we just take a round figure, 10. So remember, we say the fidya for fast is 30 rand. So you, the family, take out 300 rand. It's not such a substantial amount, a big amount. And give out that 300 rand for the 10 fast and give it to poor Muslims. So that will be called fidya. So remember, you, the age, you, the family, anybody can do that. And say, Ya Allah, forgive this Kala, this Masi, this mother, auntie of ours. So that's one. Second one is, you the heirs, can you fast on behalf of your mother, behalf of your auntie and so forth? The Hanafi scholars don't allow it. But remember, the hadith is mentioned in Bulughul Maram and in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. Man mata wa alayhi siyam. When a person passes away and they have some siyam, siyam means fast, outstanding. They didn't keep it because of sickness and there was the, they got better, but then they didn't keep the qada and what have you. So sama anhu waliyuhu. So you, the heirs, can keep the fast. So for example, the daughters, the sons say, we will keep the 10-20 fast that our mother, our grandfather, our father must and so forth. So the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them, they allow that. But the Hanafis say, no, that is not permissible. La yuswalli ahadun an ahadin, wa la yasumu ahadun an ahadin. No one can perform salat on behalf of another. No one can fast on behalf of another. That is the dalil and evidence of the Hanafis. But remember, Shafis and Hanbalis and that, for fasting, not for salat. For fasting, they do allow it. So these are the options you have. If your Hanafi school, just pay 300 rand. I'm just using 300 as example. And you calculate 30 rand per day per fast. And inshallah, you pay that out. Allah Jalla wa'ala grant all our marhumin Jannatul Firdaus.
Please keep it anonymous. My wife has let herself go. She no more dresses up for me, Mufti Saab. She has gained too much weight. I am no more attracted to her physically, so I avoid being intimate. But I still love her, Ustad.
So why you don't discuss this issue? So you must remember, sometime a woman, that she becomes overweight because too many chocolates and too many niceties and too many sweet things and what have you. We know doctor, but common sense can be, you understand, also a guideline. I always say nowadays common sense is no more so common also, you know. So second one is this, maybe it's some medication she's taking. You know that sometimes the woman or the man also, the medication makes you blow up and so forth, side effects and so forth. So discuss this issue and so forth. No sense saying, I love you, my darling, I love you, my poppy, I love you, but you're not being intimate with her and all that. When you sleep, she's facing eastern side and you facing western side. So I mean, that's not going to help the situation, you know. So you both need to come to your common sense and use it. Discuss the issue that how come you are picking up soma, and then start fasting. So mutasih. Fasting also will be good for your health. And most ladies, they have qada because of their menses and what have you. So one, tomorrow is Thursday, so you fast with the intention of qada and so forth. And in that way, inshallah, and check your diet, check your medication. And in that way, you must help her. But you're not helping her husband. I told you just now, marriage is a partnership. So ham duk aur suk mein saath honge. You know, when we were in school, the teacher, they speak of this. They say through thick and thin we have to be together. So we don't really agree with that, because they speak about the boyfriend and girlfriend and all this nonsense, so which we reject totally. But remember, in marriage we say in duk and suk, in dharra and sarra, in prosperity and adversity, you must be together with one another. And subhanallah, if you look at the verse where it is mentioned in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 187, Allah Jalla wa Ala is speaking about fasting. And while fasting, then Allah Ta'ala changes the topic to dua. Verse 183, 184, 185, 187, all are speaking of Ramadan. And 186 in between, wa idha sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of dua. So it shows that dua is so important. See, today is what? Wednesday. This morning my advice was this. Allah Jalla wa Ala, this morning I mean in the masjid after Fajr. So remember that I told the brothers there, today is Wednesday, Zohar, between after Zohar to Asr, du'as are accepted. When we make dua, dil say from the bottom of our heart, Allah's benevolence, Allah's grace, remember Allah will accept it. But when we show indifference, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَهُ بِكُمْ رَبِّ be lawla du'aukum. Chapter 25, verse 77, the last verse of Surah 25, chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion. Say, O Muhammad, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah is not bothered about you if you don't make dua. Allah ko koi parwa nahi tumhara agar tumne dua nahi ki. So marriage, so see, now Allah says, Hunna in Surah 2, verse 187, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, that you are the garments for one another. You tell your wife, nah, I don't want to look at you, you're too fat, you're too blown up, you're too this, you're too that. So are you really helping her, or are you shattering her confidence totally? So brother, the approach, remember that. Therefore they say in English, attitude leads to altitude. So what it means? It means that your attitude to your wife must be sympathetic. And then altitude, both of you will fly figuratively. So you are doing it just the opposite there. That she will say, my husband also is condemning me one way. So let me just get more fit also. And I will look like little Lota. You know little Lota, Mullah? So you must, when we were in school, anybody, the ladies, the girls were fit, they say little Lota. So this type of thing there. So we don't want little Lota. So you want that you must help her along the line. And in that is what Islam will say.
Ustaz, so I would like to know, I was 6 weeks pregnant and I got a miscarriage. What can I read for pain? Ustaz?
Almighty Allah, Jalla Allah, make it easy for you. You know the trauma and everything you went through. And now internally you are still bleeding. Not only bleeding the blood, but internally you are bleeding that, you know, I had so many hopes and aspirations and everything got dashed and so forth. So never become negative with Almighty Allah. Always remain positive with Allah. Husnul dhanni billahi wajibun. To remain positive with Almighty Allah is mandatory, compulsory, in all circumstances, in all cases and instances. Number one. Number two is this, that you and your husband, both of you must start reading Rabbi Habli Minas Salihin, Surah 37. You know Surah Yasin is Surah 36. So the next Surah, Surah Safat, chapter 37, verse 100. The dua of a Nabi, Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant us pious children, Ya Allah. Surah 3, verse 38. And what must you read? Rabbi habli milladun gadurriyatan tayyiba. Ya Allah, give us pious, chaste, good children. Innaka sami'u dua. Verily, Ya Allah, you listen to the du'as, you accept the du'as out of your benevolence, mercy and grace. Chapter 3, verse 38. Then you are fearing. Now before I go to that, let me give you. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about siqtun, seen, qaf, ta, toy. What you say, toy. So ta, seen, qaf, ta. So that is toy, what we say toy, you know how we learned. So remember that now that siqt, that baby, that fetus, the unborn baby. So tomorrow on the day of justice, he will be your senior counsel. He will be your attorney. He will be your advocate. Allah Jalla Wala, he knows everything. Allah's knowledge is all embracing, all encompassing. Nothing obscure from Almighty Allah. Nothing hidden and concealed from Almighty Allah. But Almighty Allah says, use you. So and so son, go so and so's daughter, go to Jannah. He stands, Ya Allah, I'm not going Jannah. Allah knows. So Allah say, why are you not going? He say, what I'm going to do in Jannah? I'm alone. Where are my parents? So Allah, out of his benevolence, grace, say, okay, your parents are supposed to go on the other side, Jahannam. You drag them out and pull them out and drag them and put them in Jannah also. Provided they have Iman and Islam. So in this world, it's very difficult for you, my mother, my sister. But remember, there's a silver lining. There is a blessing in disguise. That same unborn baby, that same fetus, becomes your lawyer, advocate, senior counsel, barrister, call whatever you want to. And then he intercedes on your behalf and takes you to Jannah. Now, inshallah, you and your husband continue with du'as, and then you will conceive, inshallah. And then what must you read? She read Surah 13. You know Surah Yusuf, chapter 12. After that, the Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, thunder, verse 8. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa, wa ma taghidu al-arhamu, wa ma tazdad. Only Almighty Allah knows what the female is carrying. And remember the contraction and the expansion. Today, all your 3G and 4G and 5G and doctor and gynecologist and what? No one can tell you how many hair on that fetus. No one can tell you everything about that baby, that fetus. That is Allah Jalla wa Ala alone. The contraction and the expansion. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Everything will happen by Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala on the appointed time. So read that. And you mothers, sisters, you listening to this program, now you are due. You're due in Safar. You are due next month in Safar. Nice September, October, or end of September, you are due. Now what must you read? So read Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, and that is in the 17th Juz, 17th Subara, verse 30. Chapter 21, verse 30. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. Don't you see, O non-Muslims, Allah Jalla wa'ala created the heavens and the earth. They were stuck together. How the fetus, how the unborn baby and the mother are stuck together. Allah, out of His Qudrat-e Kamila, His absolute authority, sovereignty, majesty, فَفَتَقْنَا هُمَا. We separate the heavens and the earth. Allah will make your son, your beloved daughter, separate, and your labor pains, everything will be so smooth. So you must remember, we must read these du'as, yakin ke saath, with firm conviction, and Allah Jalla wa'ala will make it easy.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, your Ustad, anonymous, salam muftisab, my mother-in-law expects me to look after my stepchild, but she doesn't do anything for the child. Ustad,
the way I understand the question is, your current husband was married previously and then his wife passed away, or he divorced her and there is a son or a daughter. So you are now that son or daughter's stepmother, and that child is your stepchild, and now your mother-in-law is dictating to you and imposing upon you, you must do this, you must do this. So you must leave your mother-in-law one side first. Always cement your relationship with your husband first. You have to win your husband over. Husband-wife relationship is such that is not only bedroom and bathroom, you know. So there are more things also in marital life. So what you need to do is that your husband, wife, when you embrace one another, then only the bodies must not meet, the hearts have to meet. Ya wadudu, ya wadudu, ya wadud. Ya Allah, Jalla wala, you are the creator of love, ya Allah. Allahumma alif. You see the lam, must have a shadda, must have a tajdeed, what you call. So Allahumma alif baina qulubina. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. So the hearts, they are united. Then remember this unity of thought. Both husband and wife, both going in the same direction. If you're going in different direction, there'll be conflict, there'll be tension, there'll be rows, there'll be ructions. Always there'll be trouble. So always read, ya wadudu, ya wadud. Allahumma alif baina qulubina. Allahumma أصلح ذات بيننا. Ya Allah, you bring about the reform, the piety, the goodness within me and my wife. Wife, she says, between the wife and the husband, between parents and children. So in that way. So win your husband over. Then when in a good mood, you alone, mother-in-law is not there, stepchild is not there, tell him, let us be honest. You, as the wife, tell your husband, let us be fair and just and honest. That for me, you, the wife now, you speaking, that for you to look after the stepchild is not your responsibility. Remember, it's not your child. Mm. You are just doing a favor. So must remember. So whatever you do, it is min babi tabarru, min babi ihsan. You're just doing a favor. And similarly, O Habi, that what I'm doing for your mother also is just a favor.
Allah.
So you must make it clear, O Habi, to your mother. She can't come and impose upon me. I must do this, I must do this, I must do that. Whatever I am doing for her is a favor. Whatever I'm doing for the stepchild is a favor. That Islam did never make this compulsory and mandatory upon me. So don't come and overpush me and exercise that as you must do this. So I'm doing this. I'm doing little bit I can do. But don't come now and expect much more when it's not even compulsory upon me in the first place. So we need to understand. Wal hafidina li hududillah. We must understand hukukullah and hududullah. Hukuk, that I have to fulfill the rights of Almighty Allah. I have to fulfill the rights of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have to fulfill the rights of my parents, my children, my wife, all that. That is hukuk. The rights I have to fulfill. And hudud, the limitations. So you can't push a person more than the limit and so forth. If you, oh wife, you want to do it out of your own generous gesture, the own goodness of your heart, so that's good. Allah will reward you. You do for the stepson, stepdaughter, you do for mother-in-law. But to impose it upon you, remember, no one can impose it upon you. That's un-Islamic and that's zulm and that's a transgression and unacceptable.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 29 after 11, that is the bliss of marriage. I see a listener says, Mufti Sahab, that's why I like you for the bliss of marriage. Let's go to Zambia. Ustad, please advise respected Mufti Sahab. A child is extremely hyperactive due to medication she was on in the first months after she was born. What can be recited to calm her down? She's like a strong machine that never gets tired. Zambia, Ustad.
Regarding the previous comment and remark, therefore I like you, that must be from a daughter-in-law. So you must remember that. When you give answers to them and they like it, they say, this is the best guy.
Definitely.
And when you give answers, they don't like, they say, yeah, I don't like this guy. You see, people have selective hearing, remember. And so, you know the other word, Maulana? Selective amnesia. Selective amnesia, they only heard the first part, they didn't hear the second part, you see. So conveniently, they forget that. You must say. So you call it selective amnesia. And when they hear what is beneficial for them, then it's called selective hearing. Let's go to Zambia, Lusaka, mashallah. Okay, I still can't understand the question properly. You are married, you gave birth, then what happened to the child? What if the baby, for what you're giving so many tablets? You know, let me be very clear on this. Some people don't like what I'm going to say, but we speak the truth, you know. We have to be answerable to Almighty Allah. We are answerable to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's amanat and it's a deen Allah has given us, you know. So I am dead against, leave me, we non-entities. Sharia is dead against this business of giving vaccines. Do you know today this vaccine, some of them, they contain porcine, they contain pork, and some of them contain very, very dangerous material and ingredients. But because our iman today is so weak, the doctor says ABC, yes, yes, doctor. The nurse says this, very good, very good. But look at the after effects now. You're making your son is not even 1 year old. You're making your daughter not 2 years old. To use your word, my son, my daughter has become a machine. It is over, over. Active is very good. I was very active, mashallah. My mother, Allah bless her, grant her Jannatul Firdaus. My father used to love me. Mother used to love me, obviously. But my father wouldn't say so much. But my mother, she would tell me, even now when I was big, you know, she passed away, and say that, you know how naughty you were. You were a real mastan, a real scamp, like. You know, so real mastan you were, and just do all funny things, you know. So that is good in children when they're active. But when you are speaking about overactive, becoming a machine, and the thing that concerns me is not this. That is the medication you are administrating to the baby. So that, I am very much against all these things. I'm asking you, O Zambia, O mother, O father, did you read Surah Fatiha on your children every day? Did you read the four quls on your child every day? Did you read Ayatul Kursi every day? Did you read Surah Baqarah once in a while? So that is the medication you must use for the children. I'm not saying that when they cough and they don't take medication, you take that. But to take such medication that is going to be harmful for them, and then the child will become addicted to that medication. So I'm no doctor, nothing, but you ask me the question, my advice to you, rather you go to second opinion, third opinion, go to proper doctors and not quacks. You know, you get sometimes, not saying everyone is a quack, but sometimes you have doctors who are quacks also. So rather go to people who have your welfare at heart. Go to your doctor who has your child's welfare at heart and not just making money out of it. So remember that in that way there, you change the medication, you use the spiritual medication, and if you got the Hakim there or somebody, go ask them, a reliable Hakim also, not anybody now. In every field we have to be so careful nowadays.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, whatever you just said now, exactly the sister is saying, there were complications, Mufti Sahib, during pregnancy and birth. Baby had infection as soon as she was born. She was given high-dose antibiotics and steroids for bad reflux. I haven't given any vaccine, Mufti Sahib, please help me.
Yes, so now what you need to do is this, they just go to a second opinion, third opinion, take other medication, go to some ulama in Lusaka, and that you got ulama there, I know some of them as well, and see and ask them for some good advice and so forth, but keep on reading Quranic verses, blow on your son and your daughter and so forth. See, I give you an incident. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, but now two, 3 days, somebody sent me, you know, a message and said that this boy here, that he's going to read Quran, you must listen to him. So I heard his Quran, excellent, meaning on the phone, I'm hearing, and he's reading Quran, beautiful. So they tell him, Ya Bunaya, oh son, explain your story to me. He says, you know, when my mother, she was pregnant and she conceived and I'm in her womb, then I could hear her, I, the baby in my mother's womb, I could hear her reading Surah Maryam. And already pre-birth, before my birth, my love for Quran intensified. Subhanallah. So then, when the mother reads so much, so what's going to happen? It must have an impact. When the mother is smoking and jollying and partying and all that, then that has an impact. You see, in South Africa today, some children, masoom, innocent, when I hear this, we can cry. The baby is born with AIDS.
Allahu Akbar.
So what you going to say? So, because the mother is leading such a upside down, or you know, such a life, you know, that a life of just sleeping with anybody and everybody and so forth. So you must remember that, so we accept these type of things here. So read Quran, go to doctors as well and so forth, but remember, maybe they give extra dosage or whatever, Allah alone knows. But the main thing, vaccine was just an example I'm giving. It's any kind of medication. To make sure your child does not get addicted to that medication at this end the age, and that is the message.
Anonymous sister says, Ustaz, strictly anonymous, I really love today's show. Mufti Sahib, I just want to tell you that my niece, she is on highly drugs, and that really affected the baby. And today we don't know what to do because her husband introduced her into drugs. So DJ Mufti Sahib, you are right. It does affect the baby. Ustaz,
100% common sense can tell you that. We don't have to even go to a doctor. In life, there's input and output. For what Islam said, no wine and no swine. So you will see these people who take the pork bangers, the people who take swine, the people who take alcohol. For them, you must remember they lead such a life. For them, you must remember that the partying, the clubbing and all this. So you must, it's normal. You must remember the orgies and whatever else is going to go on. So in Islam, input, output, kulu minat tayyibati wa amalu saliha. They consume that which is not only halal, but it's halal and it is pure and wholesome, then you will be motivated towards righteous deeds and actions. And the haram we take, then the vices become very attractive, and then, so that is what we have to do. So now that couple, you have to sort their lives out first. Once you get involved in drugs, once you get involved, you must remember in your drugs and alcohol and so forth. So that is Ummul Khaba'is, Ummul Fawahish, the mother of all vices, the mother of all obscenities. So therefore you must remember that today you see South Africa. So most of the children today that are born, so you must remember they don't even know who their father is. So why? Because remember that you go into the history so much, they call it, you see, they play with words, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, they use the, we don't accept that. That is gymnastics in semantics, that is euphemism, that what we say, ek ek katra haram hai, we say one drop of the alcohol is haram. You know, in the plane, when they are pouring that alcohol, and the passenger next to me, so I always turn a bit this way away, so even that splash must not come on us. That is the hatred we must have. Not that person is him, but we're speaking of the alcohol itself. So you must remember that. So that is what Islam is teaching us. Ma askara kathiruhu faqalilu haram. What intoxicates in large quantities, the one drop also is haram in Islam. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmed, you will find the hadith.
I see, Bart says, Mulana Arafat, tell Mufti Sab, my wife is listening, and she says for the woman folk is selective amnesia. And for her, for, meaning for the husband, Bart is selective hearing. Ustad.
That makes a good team. That makes a good team. Meet me halfway.
Ustad, my husband did a business deal with his friend, who he took like his brother. Years went by and he never paid us. Few years later, the friend called for a Jamiat meeting disputing the amount. After a few meetings, they came to an amount that both signed and agreed. But years has passed again, and he still has not paid us anything. Remember, Mufti Sab, he is a very wealthy person. What can we do? If something happens to my husband, can I say he, the friend, should not come near our house, or for maybe the mayor in our family? I feel he did zulum oppression on my husband and us. Note, Mufti Sab, it's 10 years now and about 1.5 million. Ustad.
So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Matalul Ghaniyi Zulmun, ABC person took 1.5 million from me. I just use my example, for example. So, and he doesn't pay. Then we went to the Jamiat, to the ulama, and still 9-10 years have passed, he doesn't pay. So why you don't tell the Jamiat that it means that all your intervening and speaking didn't help anything? So you must either go to the lawyers or either expose that person there and tell him that we're going to expose you to everybody because this is theft now. You are stealing our money. Never mind coming for janaza and all that. You have to tell him that what are you doing? Don't you feel ashamed that you are eating somebody's rights? And yeah, there are masum children involved. There's a lady involved and so many things. And today your husband is alive, so you can still speak. Tomorrow when he's gone, then what will happen? So you have to bring all this and remember this, that these kind of people, you need to name them and shame them because they became Besharam themselves, that they lost all their shame and haya and so forth. And the best part with some people like that, I don't say all, but some people like this, they will go for Hajj, they will go for Umrah, they will go overseas, but it doesn't bother them that they're owing ABC XYZ. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two hadiths. Remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dain." Ya Allah, I seek your protection from kufr and blasphemy and from debts. The Sahaba, they were very amazed, astonished. So wait a day. Bil-kufri ya Rasulallah, it's like you took debts and equated it with blasphemy. Qala na'am. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. The hadith open in Sunan Nasai. Second hadith, authentic, remember Mishkat Sharif and various compilations. A person gave his life in the battlefield. Yughfaru li shahidi kullu dhanbin illa dain. The person, remember, made the supreme sacrifice. All his sins forgiven, but debts are not forgiven. So to get that person, he must pay you the amount. Amount, 1.5 million and no discount, nothing. He has to pay you the full amount.
Well, it's 18 minutes to 12. We go for a quick, inshallah, interval. When we come back, we will, inshallah, continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
14 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. Ustad, a listener says that it says here, could the Mufti sir please comment on Maulana Salman Nadwi's lectures of India? And who is he, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maulana Salman Nadwi was a great scholar there in India. And remember that he had very good ties with Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Rahimahullah. So much so, he came here to my house where I am now. So you must remember when with CII, so we interviewed him, I interviewed him, and so forth and so on. But you see, when money comes, then they say, Al-fulusu tatakallamu bikulli lughat. Money speaks all languages. So now he has become an agent for the Iranian regime, and now he attacks the Sahaba, Allah forbid. He's attacking Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. The latest clip he sent, he's attacking Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an. So now he has gone to that point now, and he has been kicked out meaning from the Darulum Ladnadwa. They don't want anything to do with him, and you must remember that. So every one of you, I'll give you one incident which very few people know about. Darulum Newcastle, where I was, you know, Newcastle for 20 years. So sometimes they consult with me and all. So about 4 years ago, or 3-5 years ago, whenever, they wanted to invite him, that time already, for a jalsa. So I told them, don't invite him, that you will make the biggest mistake. Other Darulums, Madrasa, some of them invited him. I said, don't invite him. So you must remember that. So he has become a sellout as far as we, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, goes. And therefore, we must remember people who are very good lecturers. You know the one that he came to South Africa last year or 2 years ago, and from Pakistan, and he uses Tabligh Jamaat and all that for his own hidden agenda. And he says we must have Sunni Shia unity and all that from Pakistan. So I didn't meet him also. I don't want to meet him. And we exposed him very badly. He'll never come to South Africa again, inshallah. So he's from Pakistan. And remember, the Salman Nadwi, same thing for him. You must remember that. He speaks master in the Arabic language. His Urdu, if you hear, Lucknowi Urdu, powerful Urdu. But remember, what good is all that when you have left everything? Quran says, Yu'minuna bil ghayb, you must believe in the unseen. They found a weakness. And what is that? Yu'minuna bil jayb, that filled their pockets with millions and hundreds of dollars and so forth and so on. You must remember the Indian government has agents, and I know some of them. They had big Maulvis and so forth who are taking money from the Indian Modi government and so forth. Some of them are taking from the Iranian regime directly, indirectly, and when you hear their lectures, then you will know. Therefore, one alim, he wrote a reply and a response to Salman Nadwi of India and said, Tumara naam jo hai Salman Khomeini hai abhi. So now you have no more Salman Nadwi, you are so Salman Khomeini now. So understand this, and we agree with that. Any person who says that, they keep quiet, like our organizations in South Africa, some of them, ulama organizations included, they silent on this issue, and they say, no, we don't want to speak, and so remember, your iman is also in khatra. Your iman is also in danger. Remember that. People swearing, cursing, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, the greatest of the greatest companions, and you say, no, we can't speak, and so forth. So remember, what are you doing? Tomorrow, you go to Madinah Munawwara. How do you stand in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? How do you stand in front of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his honorable wife is being attacked and used with such names you can't even speak? And this type of things. So where's our iman? Where's our ghairat? You call it ghairat. Our self-esteem, our self-respect. So people like Salman Nadwi and that of India, 100% sellouts. And we beg Allah, Allah protect us from such people who are selling the deen for dollars and selling the deen for money and so forth. Every week now, he sends out something. His target Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, target Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, target the Sahabi, target this one, and so forth. So you must remember. And yesterday he said, Meto Husainihu, I belong to the Ahlul Bayt. I'm doing the work of Imam Mahdi. Before Mahdi comes, I'm already doing the work, so it becomes easy for the Mahdi. Allah chose a person like you who's selling out. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So therefore, and that one in Pakistan also, you must remember, he came here once to South Africa. So he speaks Sunni, Shia and all these kind of things there. All sellouts, they must remember that. So you must have nothing to do with them.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Ustaz, the listener says here that we don't know if Mufti Sahib heard about it, that a new ambassador of Iran has arrived in our beautiful country, South Africa. And they are saying that some organizations are saying that they are doing absolutely good work. Ustaz, could you please comment on this?
Yes, some people sent me some message that, you know, that yeah, in South Africa, that the Iranian Shia, you must remember, government have ties, obviously. So that now some organizations here in South Africa are promoting them and saying that they do good work and us and all these kind of things. Now let me pose 5 questions to all of you. Those who are sympathetic to the Shias, those who are Shias, and those who are funded by the Shias. I repeat, those who are Shias, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. Those who are sympathetic to the Shias, and third one, those who are sponsored and getting money, whether in the media, on your radios, on your TV, in your organizations, whichever way you are getting money from them. So I'm asking you the first for these 5 questions, and then see if you can answer them. Number one, what is your stance? Number one question. Regarding a person, a government, or a politician, organization who curses and swears, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu an, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha, and majority Sahaba, Amir Muawiyah, 100% they swear, curse, and so forth. I went to Iran, they gave me the books. So what do you say? Quran Kareem states, Surah 9, verse 79, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُتَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهُدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. Allah defends the honor of Sahaba and says, those who criticize the Sahaba, those who mock the Sahaba, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah is mocking them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them, you must remember, is a painful, horrible punishment. They go straight to Jahannam. Chapter 9, Surah 9, verse 79. One question. You must answer. Don't hide. Number two, I went to Iran in 2013. Until today, it's there. Don't let them tell you stories. In the Shah's time, all this was not there. This happened after the so-called revolution. We don't call it the Islamic revolution. We call it the satanic revolution. So, you must remember, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the ending of the 23rd year of the Hijrah, he was assassinated, stabbed by Fayruz, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi. And remember, he passed away. He was buried in the ending of Zulhijjah, first Muharram. And then on the first Muharram, the year 24, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. They, the shaitan, Shias, kafir, kuffar, they built a shrine for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu in a place called Kashan. Today, if you know about carpets, you get Kashani carpets, it's very famous. I went to that shrine myself, I saw it. I'm asking you, sympathizers and receiving money from the Shias and promoting Shiaism in South Africa and other parts in the world, directly, indirectly, what do you say about a regime that promotes and makes a shrine of the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala? Surah 9 verse 100, Allah says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ. The first and the foremost of people who embrace Islam, you must follow them. Surah 9 verse 100, these people are hatred for Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, now leads them to do that. That's number 2. Number three, what do you say of a people who promote muta and prostitution? Khomeini, the kafir, you must remember, la'anahullah, he wrote a book which I have, they gave me. Tawdihul Masail, I challenge any Shia in the world to tell me it's not Khomeini's book. In there he writes, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. You who are taking money from the Iranians, you who are taking money from the Shias, you who are sympathetic to the Iranian regime, I'm asking you, do you agree with this? Their muta and prostitution? Are you ready to give your daughter for 1 hour to somebody? So this is the shame and the disgrace of the Shia. You must remember that. So that they have certain things there that no human being will allow. No Hindu will allow. No Jew will allow. No Christian will allow. No Muslim, true Muslim. But the Shias not only allow it, we are saying, say no. We make stories. BBC carried a whole documentary on it to show the prostitution going on in Iraq and all these places. Iran is all same, is all Shia nowadays. So you must remember this. So that's question number three. Question number four. Don't give me stories. The only capital in a so-called Muslim country where you don't have a masjid for us, the Sunnis. In Tehran, my people with who I went, everything I asked them, they did. And they were very good. You understand? As far as what we did. Very good, not Muslims. Very good in what they promised me. I paid them and they did good for me. Fine. I told them, I arrived in Iran on the 1st of Rabiul Awal. And 12th Rabiul Awal, 2013, was a Friday. So I told them before that I want to go to a Sunni masjid in Tehran, the capital of Iran. So that morning they phoned me and told me, sorry, they should call me Mr. Husseini. Mr. Husseini, there's no masjid for Sunnis. So this way, that way, then they found one place, they said, go there and all. Till today, they will have churches, they'll have synagogues, but they won't have a Sunni masjid. Where is your Islamic revolution or Islamic republic? So you must remember that oppressing the Sunnis and not allowing a masjid. I didn't say Iran, I said Tehran, the capital. You show me, don't come show me some funny building and tell me this. That is your propaganda. Show me a proper masjid run by Sunnis, and Sunnis can speak whatever they want to. There's nothing like that in Tehran. Question four. Question five, you must remember that what will you say about people who reject all the ahadith reported in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, the only hadith they use when it suits their desires, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. So people like that, what will you say? I leave the decision in your court. I'll tell you this much today. If you carry on like this, and you support the Iranians, and you support the swearing and cursing of Sahaba, wallahi, this Quran in my hand, you will die a murtad and out of the fold of Islam.
Ya Allah. Ustad, talking of masjids, as you just mentioned earlier on now, Ustad, have you heard that some masjids are still closed due to COVID-19, Ustad?
You must remember that this is, our Maulvis are to blame for all this. Who went to court to close the masjid? Today I found a document also. We sent it to some people. Who were the instigators in saying you must go to court and that anybody wants it, I'll send it to you. You send me a message. Just put their masjid close, and I'll send you that 071-888-1184. So the people, the organizations who went, therefore they are the most disgraced organizations in the world. For ulama to go and close masjid and go to court, friends of the court. So, you know what Quran says? Surah 2, verse 114. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. Who can be a bigger zalim, oppressor, transgressor, tyrant, tenpot dictator? مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ Then those people who prevent people from going to the masjid, you go close the masjid. You take the Quran Sharifs out of the masjid. You close, you seal it, you lock it. أَيُّذْكَرَ فِيهَ اسْمُهُ That Allah Ta'ala's name has been taken, you say no. Mustn't have the masjid open, no salat. وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا And they strive to destroy the masjids. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا And they will not enter the masjid illa khaifin, with fear. No, you make sajda on the carpet, you get covered. You do this, you must stand like this. 1 meter, 2 meter, the whole jamarat shaitan must come in between. And all these kind of things. So they say all these things here. So you must remember that. But when they have big, big parties like they have, you must remember, then they don't do all these kind of things there. So, lahum fid dunya khidyu. See the disgrace they are, kept in hand, begging everywhere. So you must remember that. Give us money. So you must remember that. This has become a decisive moment in South African and Islamic history. The Maulvis, crooked Maulvis and sheikhs of South Africa went to court so that to close the masjids. And what will your children say? They'll be ashamed of you one day. They will read, my father went to court, my uncle went to court to close the masjid. What do you think? لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِذِيُوا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ For them is absolute disgrace in this world, and for them is a horrible, terrible punishment in the year after. This is Allah's kalam. We just explained it. Surah 2, verse 114. So every masjid, see Egypt. Egypt is demolishing masjids today. Egypt, Muslim country, demolishing masjid. So any country demolishing masjid, any country, you must remember, preventing people from going to masjid. You inviting the wrath, you inviting the punishment. You can do the best PR you want to. Go and beg by everybody. Go by the Mehmans, go by Surtis, go by who. The whole thing is exposed. And now remember, Allah has put upon you the disgrace that will never be taken upon. It's a stain on you, because remember that you wanted to please governments, and you wanted to please a corrupt government and that, and you wanted to settle scores as well. So when your intention was that, this is the result you see today. Wa ila Allahi al-mushtaka, ya Allah, we complain to you. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, ya Allah, have mercy on us. No one can have this ummah except you. May all met wa dakhil Nafi rahmatik, ya Allah, include us in your mercy. We conclude with the two du'as of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Ya Allah, include us in your special mercy. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Allahumma la tu'akhidhna bima fa'ala as-sufaha minna. Ya Allah, do not punish us because of the fools and the idiots in our midst who did all these type of things. Allah, have mercy on us. Okay, 12 o'clock news. Then inshallah 12 to 1 our brother Alphas with the current affairs, 1 o'clock Adhan, 5 past 1 to half past 1 inshallah tafsir from Surah Ahzab chapter 33 verses 35-36 inshallah, and thereafter remember half past 1 to 2 will be Surah Baqarah inshallah, and verses 79 inshallah will be starting point, and thereafter remember the 2 to 3 Sheikh Zakaria, thereafter inshallah then the 2 to 3, 3 to half past 3 the repeat of the morning's program, and then half past 3 to half past 5 Amin Templeton inshallah with the business news inshallah Aziz, 5:30 to 7 will be inshallah Maulana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to half past 7 the repeat of today's tafsir, 7:30 to 8 you must remember will be the advices by Maulana Yunus Patel, 8 to 10 our brother Shafat Ahmed Khan with a medical file, very interesting program with the dentist today, so he want to sparkle your teeth for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmat.
And of course, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. We will be sending out the podcast, inshallah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news.